From the voice of the protester shouting Queer Lives Matter on the street of ENSA's protests in Lagos. To the lawyers and churches that are actively militating against LGBT Ghanaians.
We advocate that Ghana stand on the LGBTQ.
We clamor for the decriminalization of queerness on the soil of West Africa. The LGBTIQ community, most especially in Nigeria and Ghana, have sought to seek inspirations from stories that exist in our immediate community. I am OK Timile, the creator of Quest City Podcast, and this is the fourth season of Quest City Podcast. Hello everyone, and you're welcome to this episode. I am OK Timile, the creator of Quest City Podcast, and on this episode of Quest City Podcast, I am really interested in the queer people who live with disability in Nigeria. Everyday Nigeria is not safe for an able-bodied queer person in Nigeria, right? Now, what happens to the queer disabled person who is trying to network with other queer person out there and get into Keto in places like Ojo, Maitu, Sele, Alaba, all those horrible places in Lagos? What even if they are women or trans women? On this episode, I would be joined by Benu Edayo. Benu Edayo is a human rights activist and a disability rights activist whose work in recent time had reflected queer persons in Nigeria. Oyedayo's narrative brings us to the reality of growing up as a person with disability in Nigeria. She brings us into the light of us even checking if our activism had been inclusive enough as a community, considering how many of our community spaces are even accessible for people living with disability. I hope we get to find answers as we proceed in clamoring for the rights of queer people in Nigeria. We are able to see the intersectionality of our activism, right? And then we amplify our voices.
My name is Oyewole Benedicta Oyedayo. I prefer to be called Oyedayo. My pronouns are she, her, and yeah, I'm a feminist. Other times I will have added other things to serve as my introduction, but right now, yeah, I feel a rejuvenated soul. I feel like a rejuvenated soul, and I'm still searching for part of myself. So the only part of myself I can use as an introduction right now in this context is I am Oyedayo and I'm a feminist. Yeah, I live in the city of the Brown Rusted Roof, which is Ibadan. I live in Bashorun, Ibadan, Oyo State, southwest of Nigeria. And contrary to popular belief, it's actually very good, cool and collected. But a lot of, there's been kind of a migration here over the time, so it's getting a little bit more crowded than it used to be. But that's okay, we're fine. There's enough space to go around.
For people living with disability like Oyedayo, growing up can be all kind of experiences for them, and we can never understand how much this is to them until we hear them speak.
Just in a conversation yesterday, I was able to, you know, unravel some of this my childhood experiences, and one I'm keeping and I'm holding on to is being seen as a diagnosis, which also transcends to my now. But then as a child, I couldn't really understand why I wasn't, you know, loved like everybody else. I wasn't given as same treatment. I was treated totally different. So I remember I had a seatmate at the time, and I was in KG2, and they got the girl, you know, children, inquisitiveness, and she told her mom about me. The next thing is her mom is coming to school the next day, and her mom is shouting, hollering at the teacher to, you know, not infect, get a child infected, to mean that a seat should be changed from mine. Which the next reaction I'm getting from this teacher is the teacher leaning down and begging that she's sorry, that shouldn't be done, and the girl's seat was changed, and I started sitting alone. So you just see all those forms. I was just in cages, so I didn't understand. But I knew that I was different, obviously, because I've spent quite a number of my formative years in the hospital. So coming from there, and then that's enough awakening to my soul. So I was made to grow up early in the experiences of, you know, being treated differently, and by differently I mean discriminatory. And I did not attend a school particularly for disabled persons. So let's say in the old school, I was the only one with a physical disability. Yeah, so it was pretty high. It was pretty hard. Another experience I can quite remember is being singled out in activities. As you are not even like trying to get it, if my strength, I'm capable of this activity or the other, you just single me out, go sit down, everyone is doing this and that, but you're not, and you're just there crying, holding onto your tongue, biting the insides of your cheek, and then just, I don't know, in those moments I really wasn't holding on to anything, because I was tearing apart. I wasn't holding on to anything, and it's rather sad because there was nobody to talk to about it, and there was no mental health support provided, because I feel it, the hospital in which I grew up in, as well as my parents and other friends and other family members, were more concerned about me leaving. And when they saw that was done, I mean, everyone was glad and happy. So the focus, when the physical was already guaranteed, they didn't think to check the psychological impact of growing up as a disabled Nigerian girl. Yeah, as a disabled Nigerian girl. So and then access is key. And in those moments, it's not like I was really going out. I had like a triangular lifestyle: home, church and school. So I think my personal strength, I came to realize, like in those moments I was into myself a lot, so I never wanted anybody to go through what I had gone through. So I think I made the decision at a very early stage to, you know, spend the rest of my life fighting not to make anyone go through half of the things I went through. And the weaknesses, I fell apart a lot of times. Eesh, love. Oh, love is such a beautiful thing. But yeah, I feel like I wanted to be loved romantically by someone so much, and when that wasn't coming, it was only fair to attribute that or to reference that to my physical challenge, because everyone was, you know, getting this romantic love and I wasn't. So anybody that comes, I'll be it, is a yes all the time. Yes, oh yes, we did, yes we do this, yes, to do that, regardless of my own feelings or emotional attraction to the person or the absence of it. Everything was a yes. So it wasn't until recently was I able to, you know, have my first real yes. Every other yeses before now has been probably form of unintentional coercion or just wanting to feel what everyone is feeling and wanting to feel like you exist in the space of this world. You also take up space in the universe. Oh. An experience that describes my personal strength. I'm not gonna stop here, so I'm gonna continue. So an experience that describes my personal strength, I don't think there is one experience, but it's more like a compilation of experiences in which I've been able to, you know, understand myself or come in tune with myself to the point that I can actively stand for the things I believe in. I can actively stand for myself, although it doesn't happen all the time. So that's where we talk about the lows. Sometimes I feel like I'm burnt out. I've exhausted all the strength left in me, because we live in a country that, you know, doesn't support persons with disability in any way. We have different discriminatory laws. We have different various forms of unenforced laws, and it's as simple as it can be. We have the airports, we have aviation, we have at public buildings where you cannot even gain access to them. So this in ways, you know, goes on to affect have an influence on my lows. So sometimes you just get burnt out, you're tired of fighting, because you keep fighting, you keep going out, you keep fighting. Like, every day is a daily fight. Getting out of the bed is a fight, is a big struggle. So my strengths and my weakness kind of coexist, and then this also like goes on to influence my lows. And I think in it all, like I said, love is a beautiful thing, love is a powerful thing for me, so I cannot not love. I think I use that to describe myself to someone. I cannot not love, but I feel like everybody is capable of loving, everybody is capable of love. And I think in order to get to be able to share yourself with other people, you have to understand yourself, you have to, you know, fill yourself up. So I think a lot of for love for me is coming from understanding my true self, loving myself above and beyond, and being able to, you know, transcend that love also to the next person that's outside of myself. So yes, everything is kind of intertwined. Personal strength, weaknesses, peaks, lows, love, everything is kind of intertwined. Because when I understand myself, that is when I'll be able to, in those moments of my lows, in those moments in which I'm strong, I know how to, you know, kind of like manage those moments when they come and as they come. I have been privileged to born into a family in which we could afford and access basic primary education. I was able to have access to going to a primary school that was a private school, a secondary school that was a private school, and those were like good schools. And then I also went to the federal university. So I'm talking from a place of experience when I'm talking about some of the things I've been privileged to have access to. My schooling experience, I think this question is now going to move into my schooling experiences as a disabled person, which I think I've already touched on some of them in the question I answered before now. So moving to university, I think one of the forms of academia ableism is very, very, very painful, because you're in a situation in which when you fight it, it is decisive. It has an impact on your, you know, your staying in the school or leaving, your grades and whatnot. So for me, I had different experiences, but then my fight was lowered. And at the time, I did not even have access to some of the information I have access to right now. So I didn't even understand the core of my strengths as a disabled person, and I didn't understand my rights. Because yes, these rights were not made in schools. We're just told about the UDHR, the rule of law. We were not spoken to specifically about disabled rights, and it wasn't something I was really looking into, because I didn't even know it existed. Because disabled people are being marginalized every day, so the existence of this was very shallow to me. I did not think about the existence. I did not know about his existence. So yeah, that's part of my schooling experiences. And I can recall something that happened while I was in university, like the sub-dean at the time decided to close the ramp, the place, because it's a four-story building. It's closed the ramp, and then he said it's only himself that can use it. And yes, nobody could fight it, because I went to a very conservative school, and it's a school whereas where you lift the finger, lift your voice, start to demand and stand up for yourself, there's a possibility that you'll be mad, you'll be labeled, and you'll be, sent home. So it wasn't something you could fight. That's why I said academia or bullying, because how would someone that is literally in charge of your academic life, how would you fight the person? Like, you can't even give a fight because the person is in charge of your academic life. So, yeah, assessing education, the educational institutions in Nigeria are totally not inclusive of persons with disability. Not inclusive. I think by this, we should just take our mind by back and kind of reflect on our primary schools, the nursery schools, the secondary schools, universities, and how inclusive are these educational institutions towards persons with disabilities. And I think another mistake most people do make is limiting access for disabled people to ramps. Ramps are just the minimum, are just the bare, it's just the ceiling. It goes up from there. And I think it's like this over here because, hey, that is what we are still fighting for as disabled individuals. That is what we are still fighting for as disabled persons. While there are other things, we are not on tables. Even when we are put on tables, we are not allowed to talk. And even when we are allowed to talk, we are not being heard. Things are not happening. So a lot of access in the educational universe, in the institutions, some is even no access. Some is just limited to ramps. And when I say ramps, it's just external ramps, just to get into the building. Can a disabled person move around the building? How is he accommodating of the ramps? How is he accessible to the blind community? How is it accessible to the deaf community? How is it accessible for persons with mobility? Disability? How is it accessible? On and on and on and on and on. So basically, my own experience, it was kind of something I moved around. Although I remember in secondary school, I fell off the stairs a lot. In the university, I don't think I fell off the stairs, but it was really uncomfortable. Some days you just want to take the ramp, or use the elevator, which was not even provided. So everything was a struggle. Also bustle. Even in the hostels, they make hostels to me like you have to go fetch water, and it's just really inconsiderate. And even as a person with disability, you cannot access it. You can't move around. So I really feel like most institutions just put ramps there for picture's sake and for whatever sake they put it there, but the buildings itself are not accessible for persons with disabilities. So assessing education for me was really dicey. Don't talk about the amount of infantilization in which I experienced. So like I said, I'm speaking from a place of privilege, because I'm looking at the other people in the disabled community, the other persons on different spectrums of disability, and how they cannot access qualitative education in Nigeria, and there has to be the existence of special schools, school for the deaf, school for this, and those people come out and then they are not even still regarded because they feel like you did not get access to qualitative education. I think I'm gonna stop on there.
Growing up in spaces like Nigeria, where Oyedayo had grown up, the struggle for the disabled community is real. The disabled community now has queer people. How do disabled queer people network? How? On the next episode of Queer City Podcast, Oyedayo will be sharing with us the social life of what it means to be a queer person living with disability in Nigeria. Once again, I am OK Timilei, the Queen of Queer City Podcast. Make sure you're following me on Twitter and Instagram at OK Timilei, and make sure you're following all of the podcast social media. We're on Facebook, TikTok, WhatsApp, Instagram, and Twitter. All at Quest City Podcast, except for Twitter, where we are at Quest City Podcast Ninja. I love you so much. Stay safe out there. Peace out.